Hello, welcome once again to naturaldocradio.com. I'm Janet Cimarelli, and very, very special doings here at Natural Doc Radio today. We have a very special guest joining Dr. Slavin and myself, and I'd like to let all of you listeners hear from Ellen Cammie, the natural nurse. Hi, Ellen. Welcome to Natural Doc Radio.
Hi, such a pleasure to be here today. Wonderful place. Such a fantastic, uplifting experience to share in what Dr. Slavin and yourself, Janet, are doing here.
Oh, thanks so much. And hi, Dr. Slavin. How are you doing today?
We're doing fine now.
We are. We're cooking now. And as usual here on naturaldocradio.com, we like to bring you updates on natural health approaches that truly can make a difference in your lives. Dr. Slavin, what's on the agenda for today?
There's a lot of misinformation out there when it comes to how we can stay healthy. We were talking earlier about simple things that we're not being told. I found it very interesting. You were talking about sleep apnea, and you said selenium.
Right.
Makes a big difference. Nobody's telling the patients about that because then you might not need a CPAP machine.
It was very interesting. The article that I was referring to had to do with oxidative stress being a contributing factor to the development of sleep apnea, and that supporting vitamin A, vitamin C, vitamin E. And then when the article got around to selenium, it works so very, very nicely with those other vitamins, the trace mineral selenium in some cases has been able to stop snoring. And if you're able to stop that snoring situation, your potential for reducing sleep apnea, that interruption in breathing, that potential is decreased. Ellen, have you heard anything like that? Of might you suggest to people you work with regard to sleep apnea and snoring?
So even meditation techniques before sleep have been found to relax that aggravated, intense reaction that people sometimes get, which leads to sleep apnea, as well as decreasing dairy and wheat.
Okay.
Because it's often linked to excess mucus production in the body. However, we can always learn, because I never heard that selenium connection. And I was very excited. The first thing I always think of is, what can someone do besides taking a nutritional supplement with food to increase their selenium? And one thing is to eat about 5 Brazil nuts a day. So along with another protocol, when someone's dealing with sleep apnea, that might be something to consider. So thank you so much for sharing that.
Very important for our listeners to know that they can support their selenium status with Brazil nuts. Very helpful information supporting antioxidant status. Dr. Slavin, is there anything that you work with patients telling you they've had a sleep study and they've been diagnosed with sleep apnea?
Well, it's been reported also that enhancing their thyroid function can be helpful in that regard. So, a lot of times the doctors are no longer treating patients, they're treating lab results. And that's a problem for the patient.
I see that so often. Very, very interesting, because on my many different sheets for evaluating the symptoms associated with thyroid dysfunction, snoring is one of them.
So it's so epidemic with people having thyroid dysfunction at various levels, sometimes subclinical. We're seeing someone like Dr. Slavin is so useful, because a regular conventional medical doctor will usually not pick that up.
It's true, because they're looking at the TSH number, often just that number, and then sometimes T3 and T4. One of the things that has been kind of a puzzle to me, because I'm seeing so many people with the obvious symptoms of thyroid dysfunction, inexplicable weight gain, sleep interruption, anxiety, palpitations. Those are just some of the things that the people talk to me about. And I was struggling with, is it because this is something I'm interested in, that I see it in other people, or is it truly something that's happening literally at epidemic levels? And so what I'm seeing so frequently, I'm thinking potentially has to do with the chlorination in our water. Dr. Slavin, what do you think might have precipitated what I perceive to be an epidemic of thyroid dysfunction?
Janet, there are a lot of factors that can play a role in thyroid function that I think mainstream medicine doesn't even pay attention to. We're surrounded by chemicals that affect the thyroid. You mentioned chlorine, as in Splenda. that's a chlorinated glucose molecule, so that could be a factor. I suppose swimming in a chlorinated swimming pool can play a role. Drinking water, and then the patient says, well, I drink purified water. I don't get chlorine. I wonder if they use chlorinated water that the animals you eat drink, or the crops you eat, you know, could be chlorinated, unless it's well water. Bromine, found in flour. You have fluoride. People still recommending fluoride toothpaste, and they dump it in the water, so you're getting in your water supply too. So there are a lot of reasons why thyroid function could be impaired. Now, here's the important part is, you can have impaired thyroid function with normal thyroid blood tests, because you're making the thyroid hormone, but instead of incorporating an iodine molecule into that hormone, you're incorporating one of the other halogens. So that's my thinking on it, that it doesn't affect the blood test, but it affects the function of the hormone.
Very interesting. As you said, there are just so many different factors. And let's just throw in two more. The potential contamination in our drinking water for all of the hormones that there is no way for filtration of specific hormones. And I'm thinking about the hormone replacement therapies and birth control therapies. The other part that I also think plays an enormous role with regard to thyroid dysfunction is stress. And can you think of any person you know that isn't dealing with a certain amount of stress? Ellen, what are your thoughts?
Well, that's why it's so good if someone did come to Dr. Slavin. I'm sure he looks at things like a 24-hour cortisol gathering. So that's going to link the adrenal glands, which, of course, are vastly impacted by stress, and release cortisol and other hormones. And it's really an axis, because when we talk about the TSH, it's called thyroid stimulating hormone, but really it's not from the thyroid, it's from the pituitary, and it gets a message from the hypothalamus. So there is a triangulation, which really can be looked at metaphorically in a spiritual sense as well, but in a physical sense, there's a feedback mechanism between these glands. So you bringing up stress is completely appropriate and absolutely part of the clinical picture.
Now, a lot of doctors use the TSH as the screening tool. They won't measure the actual thyroid hormone levels, which is free T3 and free T4. They'll get a TSH. And the upper range of that is about 4.5. Recent thinking is that that's still too high, that 2 is a better number. But if you only use the TSH, you're going to be fooled a lot of the times, because another... So let's say your TSH is 5 or 6 because your thyroid gland isn't producing enough hormone. So if you do a TSH, the doctor sees it's high and he says, you might have a thyroid issue here. And he might prescribe thyroid hormones to lower the TSH level. But what if you're under stress? Now you measure the TSH, and it's in a normal range because stress will lower the TSH. Now you're missing a patient who has a thyroid issue because the stress lowered the TSH, not the fact that you're making adequate amount of hormone, and now the doctor misses the problem. That's why it's important to look at the actual thyroid hormone levels as well.
So many different aspects to consider. Ellen, going back to your triangulation, because here's the pituitary and the hypothalamus glands that are found within the brain, and it is a critically important part to have proper brain function and ultimately correct interaction and hormone support. Suppose that person is dealing with a dysfunction or an imbalance, rather, of the essential fatty acids, omega-3. Maybe their levels of omega-6 and omega-9 are very high and omega-3 is very low. Maybe the intake of DHA is compromised in some way. And then I'm going to go real basic. Water. People who are dehydrated, their brain function is going to be compromised, and ultimately the function of those different glands within the brain won't be doing their expected jobs.
That's exactly correct. And that's why the entire health of someone's beingness is really complex. Like Dr. Slavin talked about, you can't measure one parameter and make a diagnostic picture. We need to sit there with the patient, do a history, look at what kind of symptomatology they would like help with, and then it's a little bit of a guessing game because you do measurement to try to educate yourself as the healthcare provider for a window looking into how can I best help this patient. And it's always complex. It certainly might be low TSH, but it may have nothing to do with that, or high TSH. It has to do with that entire mechanism of feedback that goes on within a normal system. And what part does each nutrient play? So the more you learn about healthy eating, exercising, getting enough rest, drinking enough water, we really have great ways to monitor, measure, and balance the system.
And for all of our listeners there, we are so happy that you tuned in to join us in this conversation. And hopefully you will have a little bit better understanding about the origins of your hormone issues and hormone dysfunction, and that we're giving you a little bit of insight into the path to creating that healthy function we're all looking for.
I just want to pass something along to our listeners. Our guest today, Ellen Cammy, the natural nurse, is that the title you go by? She has a podcast. How can people find your podcast?
Well, it's really best to just go to naturalnurse.com. I have a click for radio because I do many, many different radio shows. And there's a podcast on the Gary Null Network. There's another one on other networks as well. So that would be wonderful.
So it's naturalnurse.com?
That's the place.
Okay. And I'd like to thank everybody for listening to us today. This is naturaldocradio.com. Bye-bye, everybody.